Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Strauss Group First Quarter 2009 Results Conference Call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question-and-answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded May 26, 2009. I would like to remind everyone that the conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only predictions and may change as time passes. Strauss does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing industry and market trends, reduced demand for our products, the timely development of our new products and their adoption by the market, increased competition in the industry, and price reductions, as well as due to risks identified in documents filed by the company with the ISA. With us online today are Mr. Erez Wiegodmin, CEO of Strauss Group, Mr. Gadi Lessen, incoming CEO, Mr. Shachar Florin, CFO, and Yaffa Cohen-Ifrah, Director of Investor Relations. Mr. Wiegodmin, please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for being with us this afternoon. This is an opportunity for me to spell out a number of messages pertaining to the processes we have been conducting, Gadi and me, in the process of Gadi taking over from the first of July 2009, the Strauss Group CEO position. From the moment we have announced the fact that Gadi takes over and is the one to run the business from first of July, we have been conducting the transition process between us in a way which will enable Gadi, from the moment he takes over, to run the business in a very smooth manner. The process encompasses a number of key elements. Number one is to basically assemble the team that will run with Gadi the business from the moment he takes over. Number two is to preempt the process of setting the objectives for 2010 in order to set a very clear direction for the group, which will be led by Gadi from the moment he takes over. Number three, to exhaust all the changes that are required in order to enable Gadi to take over in a smooth manner, naming his successor in Israel, selecting Zion to place him in Israel, and conducting other changes which are derived from the other changes that we have been carrying out. Basically, the process which we have been running during the last almost 8 weeks will last another 4 weeks until the end of June. At that moment, Gadi will be fully equipped to take over the business and to continue running Strauss from that moment. There is another message which is very, very important. Strauss is very committed to continue with the path of growth that we have witnessed and experienced during the last 6 years going forward. Just as a manifestation, we have been, of course, engaging now in a number of initiatives in order to tap opportunities in the marketplace, in the coffee business and also in other businesses of the group during 2009 and the course of 2010, in order to be in line with the growth path that we have experienced during the last 6 years. For me, this is an opportunity to spell out a message of trust in the new management team of Strauss, in Gadi as the new CEO of the group. And I trust Gadi to continue the very successful path going forward of Strauss. This is also an opportunity to say thank you to you on the trust you have put on Strauss and on me during the last number of years.
Gadi Lessen, incoming CEO, Strauss Group.
Good afternoon, everyone. A few words about my background. I joined the Strauss Group 16 years ago in the sales division, and in the last 10 years I managed a few business units in the company, The first one was the head of the sales division. After that, I became the Strauss Dairy CEO. A few years ago, I went to Sabra, our new startup in the US. I ran the Sabra business and came back to Israel to run the Israeli business as a Strauss Israel CEO. And I'm happy to speak with you and hopefully in the near future to meet each one of you personally. Now, regarding to the Q1 2009 results, first of all, our presentation is available in the website and you are welcome to see it. Let's see the numbers. So we have a solid start in 2009 with a growth in sales and profits. The Q1 organic growth is 6.3% despite the challenging global economic conditions, reported sales growth of 1.2%. We can see that in all our companies in the group, we are increasing our top line. Israel, including the coffee business, we have a growth of 2.1%. It's in line with the market growth. The global coffee organic growth is 11.7. Sabra organic growth 38.5. And Max Brenner, the organic growth is 3.6%. Now we can see that we are facing the global slowdown impacted on the growth phase in various markets, mainly in Eastern Europe, but not only there. When we are moving to our actions, so Strauss responded to the challenges with efficiency programs, innovations, and product launches. We are continuing the sustainability while navigating the unprecedented macro challenges. In the targets for 2009, as we told you before the beginning of the year, our target is to increase our cash flow, and later on we are going to hear the results, that we have a good and solid result in the cash flow, to reach and to gain market share. In most of the categories, we are gaining market share, and mainly in Israel, the first quarter comparing to the last quarter of 2008, we gained 0.4% of market share. About the profit, we are aiming to keep or to increase a little bit our operating profit and net income. We are continuing to invest in our main key assets, our people and our brands. It means to keep the best people in the organization and to invest more in marketing expenses. And our last target is to remember that the recession period of time is temporary, and we are going to see in the near future that we are after the recession, and we need to remember it and to continue with our projects for the future, for the next 3 to 5 years. Thank you. And now I would like to ask Shachar, our CFO, to continue with the results of Q1.
Good morning and good afternoon to all of you. This is Shachar Florenz, CFO of the group. Looking at the report, we can start with the solid growth we had in sales, 6.3% organic growth and 1.2% accounting wise. That came with a stable gross profit of 551 million shekels. Though we ended up the quarter with the same gross margin as last quarter, we had a significant improvement in the operating profit. If we are looking at the accounting and the same operating profit. Pro forma, and going down the P&L, We gained about 5 million shekels in the financial income, comparing to 25 million shekel last year, resulting in an increase of 22% in the net income from 65 to 80 million shekels. All those numbers, you can see by yourself at the reports. The one thing that I wanted to add here is that one of the when you read the reports, when you're looking at the gross profit on one hand and the financial income on the other hand, my suggestion is to read those two lines together. We stated at the beginning of the year that our hedging policy is to try and give the countries that we're working in, mainly in Eastern Europe, when we are working, when we sell coffee, we wanted to give them the visibility for between 2 to 4 months for their coffee costs. That means that we are hedging the coffee costs in local currency, which means both the coffee prices and the currency's exchange rates. For the countries, in order to allow them to increase or decrease prices in the market as a reaction to price changes in local currency for the coffee. This quarter, when all the turmoil in the currency market happened, the profits that we have in the financial income is partially because of this hedging policy, where we hedge the profits that the countries made in the coffee in the financial income, and thus, though we ended up with almost the same gross profit, part of the financial income resulting from the hedging policy that accounting wise has to be recorded under the financial income. This is the reason that with the same gross profit, we ended up with net profit significantly higher, where when we excluding the one-time profit that we had last year selling Sabra, or 50% of Sabra to PepsiCo. In addition, we ended up with the strong balance sheet, and later, you know, after the end of the quarter, we raised another 500 million shekels from the market with an interest which is very minimal, 0.7 basis point above the governmental bonds, which is one of the lowest rate in the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange for bonds with the same maturity. looking at all, and I'm in slide 6 in the presentation, even before we raised this money, you can see that all of the balance sheet ratios are very strong. Both the current ratio, net debt to EBITDA, and shareholders to shareholders' equity to the total balance sheet, and what this strong balance sheet allows us is to be free to move ahead with all the initiatives that we have, both to grow internally and organically, and inorganic. And this flexibility allows us to react in the right way that we will think going forward. So this is the picture as we see it for the whole group. If I'm diving in slide 8 to the different business units, we can see the stable states in the market in Israel, 5.5% growth in the coffee, and if we'll measure it organically without the effect of the currencies and the acquisitions that we have made in Russia, it's 11.7% with the acquisition in Russia, it's almost 21%. We had a good quarter for Max Brenner, 8.6% growth, and of course in Sabra, which is a fast-growing business for Strauss, 55% growth year-over-year, and 38% if we measure it in dollars terms. And slide number nine, just give you the impression with what we should handle when we are facing the global turmoil in the economy. You can see the changes in the currencies that we are working at, mainly in the coffee, versus the shekel, which is the reporting currency. And this is the reason that I talked about the effect of the financial income versus the gross margin in order to face those changes. We had to react also in the financial tools. Talking on the gross profit, though the sales in Israel were almost at the same level, we had a good improvement in the gross profit. We talked about the changes in the coffee gross profit and in the other segments, which includes both Sabra, Max Brenner, and the HTIMEQ, the water initiative that we have. We had a reduction of from 46 million shekel to 41. One of the main reason here is that this quarter, Q109, we are consolidating half of Sabra results because of the sale to Frito-Lay, comparing to Q108 when we consolidated all of Sabra results. Sabra profit, EBIT profit this year was 14 million shekel. That means in the EBIT, and we will see it later on in the next page 11. This results in 7 million shekel reduction just because of the accounting issue, which means that on pro forma basis, we have another 7 million shekel here that we didn't add even to the pro forma results. Going back to the EBIT, you can see that in Israel, we had a huge project of cost reduction. This is the reason we could end up the quarter with 82 million shekel operational profit versus 71, though the gross profit changes in percentage was much lower. The currency effect hit us also in the EBIT in the coffee company, resulting in 14 million shekel reduction in the operational profit, and we talked about the other. Just to give you the rough number, just the translation effect on the EBIT in the coffee business is about 10 million shekel if I'm taking last year profit in this year currency effect. And this is something that we do not hedge. As we said, we are hedging only the operational exposure. That means the cost of the coffee in local currencies. We are not hedging the translation effect. Our point of view on that currencies come and go. Sometimes they are stronger, sometimes they are weaker, and we gained for several years from that. And this year we have the opposite effect. But on the long term, we believe that the currencies will come back. Talking about the net profit, a growth from 65 million shekels to 80 million shekels, mainly because of if we are moving from the EBIT to the net profit, mainly because of the financial income versus 25 million shekel expense last year. though we had a little bit higher tax rate this quarter. As Gadi said, one of our main targets is the cash flow. This quarter, we had a positive cash flow of 36.4 million shekel versus 46.2 million shekel negative cash flow last year. We had a reduction in the inventories that was significant, even more than the increase in the AR. Here in Israel, Q1 is just before the Passover, and we have a lot of our sales during this period. We're selling more into the stores, and we are building inventory before the Passover. Though we had this increase, we managed to end up the quarter with a strong cash flow. Jumping into slide number 17, if we are analyzing the different business units that we have. In Israel, we are facing a recession that all the market going through, and food and beverages are not different than the other markets. We managed to end up the quarter with flat sales, and if we include the Israel coffee sales, we ended up the sales with up 2.1%. We had a strong quarter for fun and indulgence, a little bit weaker for the health and wellness. You can see it also in the margin of the two different business units. Though we ended up with almost flat quarter, you can see that the operating profit in Israel went up 16% from 12.1% versus 10.4% last year. This is a result from the processes that we are going through in Israel and also from the Passover. We believe that part of the increase will stay with us for the future, and part is related to the Passover sales. If we're looking on the number, 681 million shekel sales versus 680 last year, and then 82 million shekel EBIT pro forma profit versus 71, which is a good increase. Looking on the coffee, though we had to deal with the different currencies volatilities, we ended up with accounting sales up 5.5%. If we are neutralizing the effect of the currencies and the acquisition that we have made, we're ending up the quarter with 11.7% increase in sales. But the effect of the currencies hit us in the profit, and we ended up with a 1.4% lower gross margin and 22.1% reduction in the EBIT. Just to remind you from our point of view, part of the financial income that we had are relating to the coffee activities. To summarize the coffee segment, 770 million shekels sales versus 730, 5.5% growth and 11.7% organic growth, and reduction in the EBIT, 50 million shekels versus 64 million shekels EBIT. Looking on Max Brenner, though it's a small, relatively small activity for the Strauss Group, we had a good quarter with 8.6% growth in sales and 3.6% if we are taking out the effect of the dollars, dollar, which part of our sales are being sold in the States. We had a good improvement in the profitability, and we are keeping our investment there. We're going to open another branch in Philadelphia, which will be almost at the same size of the branch that we had, that we have in Union Square. Going to Sabra, number 26. Sabra is growing very fast, 55.1% growth year-over-year, 38% if in dollar terms. We have a huge increase in market share, 37.4% versus 27.4% last year. Not only that the whole hummus market is growing in the States, we are taking market share from our competitors. Also in the penetration to the market, we went up to 5 million households versus 3.8 million households at the end of last year. And of course, the operational profit went up for 5 million shekels to 14. If we are comparing 100% of the Sabra activities versus 100%, and just to remind you that we are consolidating only 50% of the business, Sabra business went up to 94 million shekels this quarter versus 61% last year, which is 55% year-over-year growth. And in the next slide, you can see that Athens of Kraft and Tribe of Nestle loses market shares, and we are gaining from them and from the other players in the market. And with that, we ended up the part of the conversation. Before we'll summarize the quarter, I want to hand it out to you and to take questions if you have.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from David Kaplan of Barclays Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I have just two questions. First of all, can you talk a little bit about, from a marketing perspective, how you balance innovation versus price, both in the local, or separately, I should say, in the local Israeli market as well as in your U.S. markets? I can ask the second question now, or up to you.
We will answer it now.
Okay. Hi, David. It's Gadi. It's a few, you know, we need to see it in a few dimensions. The first one is value for money. And it means to check each product, each category, what is the influence of the recession period of time on each category, and to adapt the right pricing. And speaking about value for money, so the second element is sizing and pricing. In Israel, mainly in Israel and also in the U.S., but mainly in Israel, in the Israeli markets, we launched a few specific products that are the right product in the right categories to face the new reality. And we are checking every promotion, every ATL activity and BTL below the line activity in the Israeli market, also outside Israel in the coffee and in the US, to see that we are doing the right steps and the right decisions. To understand the consumer insights and to give him the right answer to his demand in mainly now, you know, for us it's almost business as usual, but you know, in a recession period of time we need to be much more accurate.
Okay. And I guess in the same vein, if we talk a little bit about the threat or what you're seeing from private label, again, both here and in the U.S., is there a move towards lower end brands? And if that's the case, is there any plan for Strauss to market two levels, you know, a high end and a low end of the same product to kind of capture or hedge against any kind of risk from private label?
Yeah. So first of all, I totally agree with you. The main brand, the private label brands around the world in the recession period of time, they have a very nice result. That for us, it's a threat. Our way of dealing and competing with the private labels is with first of all our strong brands. This is the reason that we say that in 2009 we are going to invest much more in our brands to increase our marketing efforts and to do it in the right way. Now in each place depends the category and the situation and our position in the market. We are playing with our, let's say, premium brands and also with our basic brands that we have, and we are using the two tools in the same time to protect and to attack our competitors in the market. And not only the private label, we need to remember that our main competitors in the meantime, they are, you know, the global brands like Jacobs, like the craft coffee brands outside Israel. The U.S., we are still in a niche. So for us, it's to gain market share. The private label, it's not a big issue in the U.S. So our main competitor is Atinos, belongs to a craft company. And there, for us, the recession is not it's not an issue, again, because we are playing in a niche market in the meantime.
David, hi, this is Shachar. If I may add two things about the private label, we have to remember that at least in Israel, a big part of our market, the private label, I don't want to say cannot play in, but it will be very difficult, and I'm talking about the dairy business. In the dairy business, it will be very difficult for private label to play, just because the whole market is regulated, and in order to buy enough milk, you have to be a big player in this market, and for the long run, it will be difficult. And for the other businesses, Israel is relatively a small market, and to manufacture under kosher terms and to bring it from abroad, it makes it more difficult. Not that there is no private label, but if you compare it to other countries in the world, relatively share of private label in Israel, and I'm not talking about the dairy market, is relatively smaller than another market. About the U.S., we're investing $70 million together with Frito-Lay, 35 of us and 35 of them, building a new factory which will be the most advanced factory in the States for hummus, and Gadi, even correct me, might be even in the world the most advanced factory, which will make the life of the private label in this category very difficult. We're talking about all natural hummus, which is very difficult to manufacture even for us today. And I'm not talking about private label. So the answer is both investing in marketing, and on the other hand, in technology and abilities that the private label doesn't have.
Okay. Thanks very much.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available in 2 hours. In Israel, please call 03-925-5937. Internationally, please call 972-3-925-5937. Before I return the call over to Mr. Florence for his concluding statement, we have a follow-up question from David Kaplan of Barclays Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just didn't want to hog the phone call, but if I can have just one more second here. We talked a little about your expenses in the U.S. I presume that the gross profit number was down, if I'm not mistaken, 6 million shekels, but as a percent of sales, your gross margin was actually higher. What went on in the U.S. business that was able to produce a higher margin in on a gross level and operating level?
Our main business in the States is Sabra, and if we're looking on Sabra's results, as we said, we went up 55% in sales, and the EBIT profit went up to 40 million shekel versus 5. If I understood your question about the gross profit. The gross profit of Sabra are improving with the sales. We do not divide the financial outcome into Sabra and Max separately. But I can assure you that you know, profits, if the sales goes up with 55%, gross profit goes up as well, and the operational profit we gave the number, and as I said, from 5 million shekels to 14. You have to remember that last quarter Q1 08, we still consolidated 100% of the Sabra business. And in this quarter, only 50%. Thus, out of the 14 million shekels that Sabra made as an operational profit this year, we consolidated only 7. So I'm not sure that I understood fully your question, but I hope I answered part of it.
Essentially, it seems as though the answer to my question is that the increased profitability has to do with appreciation in pricing, more so than any cost management measures.
First of all, we didn't reduce prices in the States, and we didn't raise them. So most of the or all of the growth come from quantity. Again, in the profit, you have to remember that in the profit of the what we call other segment, we also have Sabra, Max Brenner, and the water initiative that we have that currently do not sell, and all its activity are booked in the expense line. And this is the reason I gave you the number on Sabra, which went up in profit, even in higher percentages in sales. Sales went up 55%, gross profit 71%, and operating profit 166%. So this business is developing very well.
Okay, thanks again.
There are no further questions at this time. A replay of this call will also be available on the company's website at www.strauss-group.com. Mr. Florence, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Thank you very much. If I'm summarizing this call, Strauss Group had a solid start for 09 with a growth in sales, 6.3% organic growth. We had a strong net profit this quarter, up 22.3%, though in some businesses that we had a reduction in EBIT, and in other we had an increase in the EBIT, and we closed the quarter with a positive cash flow, 31.1 million shekel versus a negative cash flow last year. And we have a very strong balance sheet that enable us to go forward and look for both organic and inorganic growth. Thank you very much for attending this call. We'll be more than happy to take your question even after the call, and you can contact Yaffa from our investor relations department. And again, thank you very much.
Thank you. This concludes the Strauss Group First Quarter 2009 Results Conference Call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.